Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jacob was in turmoil. His falling out with Uncle Laban left him no choice but to return to his father's house. But he was afraid to meet Esau, his brother, whom he had cheated out of his birthright. Esau had sworn to kill him after their father died. Yet God told Jacob to return. There was, after all, God's promise to bless Jacob from his line. And from that line would come the Christ, but that blessing seemed very far off. After he sent his wives, children, and servants on ahead with gifts to Esau, God's promise to bless him seemed in jeopardy. Jacob was alone. Suddenly, a man appears and begins wrestling with him. Wrestling is a gruel sport. I'm not talking about the Hulk Hogan kind of wrestling, but Greco-Roman style wrestling, where wrestlers compete to gain mastery over an opponent. Wikipedia describes it this way: wrestling is a martial art, combat sport, that involves grappling with an opponent, and striving to obtain a position of advantage through different throws or techniques. A man, the text says, but he has been wrestling with God, because the man says, "For you have striven with God." Jacob remarks that he has seen God face to face and yet has lived to tell about it. So Jacob called the place Peniel, literally the face of God. It was the pre-incarnate Christ himself who wrestled with Jacob, a true man who is also true God. The term wrestle is not a common word in Scripture, occurring only 5 times, and 4 of them here in Genesis. And 1 in Ephesians, where Paul tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of evil in our world, against demons themselves. But here it describes wrestling with this angel of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, "For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Jacob's wrestling opponent doesn't reveal himself until the end. He disguises his true identity, and the wrestling goes on all night, not merely 7 minutes as you have in NCAA wrestling, 3 minutes in the first period and 2 each in the succeeding periods. Jacob will not give up, and even when his opponent puts a joint lock on Jacob, putting his hip out of joint, he will not let his opponent gain mastery over him. His tenacity is almost superhuman. I've always marveled how athletes can push the envelope of human endurance beyond what is reasonable or beyond what we even think is possible, such as ultramarathon runners who run for 4 to 5 days with minimal sleep, measured in minutes. Who can do such a thing? Who is so foolhardy to do these things? It's superhuman. And that seems to describe Jacob's encounter with his opponent. And at daybreak, this man wants to call the match, but Jacob will do so under only 1 condition, that his opponent bless him. While the word wrestle is not used in our gospel reading, this meeting of a Canaanite woman and Jesus is every bit a wrestling match. Although not physically, as was Jacob's, this nameless woman wrestled spiritually with Christ. Her constant cry to our Lord is simply a cry for mercy. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And that marks the beginning of her wrestling match with Christ. It is an emotionally grueling contest. It is a contest of wills. It begins with her plea. Not a word from Jesus. End of match? No, she asks the disciples for help, but they beg Jesus to send her away. She's a pest. She gets no help from them. Jesus answers by telling her that she is unworthy because she is not a Jew. End of match? No. She kneels before Jesus and begs, "Lord, help me." And Jesus says that he wasn't sent to Gentiles, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she's not a Jew. In fact, Jesus calls her a dog. He can't give her what is the privilege of a Jew. She's all alone in the ring. An item in the news recently got my attention about the new mayor of New York City banning pet dogs because Muslims consider dogs to be unclean, religiously unclean. But I think it will never happen when one considers the status of pets in our society. One of my brothers-in-law used to say of my sister-in-law, who adored dogs and cooked for her giant poodles every day, "If there's a reincarnation, I want to come back as Carol's dog." But there are no pampered pets here. End of match? No, she escapes once more the stranglehold in which Jesus had her. She abases herself by saying, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And with that, the match is over. Jesus gives her what she came seeking, and this pagan woman becomes one of the greatest examples of faith in the entire scriptures. She has a tenacity that will not quit, will not give up, even though Jesus has already called the match three times. I have no doubt that Jesus was smiling broadly as he said, "Let it be done for you as you desire." In both cases, two human beings are wrestling with God. They want something from God. Each one wants a blessing. So desperate are they that I have no doubt that Jesus was smiling in both cases. They simply will not give up. Jacob refuses to quit his match. This woman refuses to quit her match. And we are amazed. What is our Lord doing in these two instances? What is he doing with you and with me in our wrestling matches with him? God often gets us into a hold from which we cannot seem to escape. The situations of life that seem so insoluble that engulf us. We pray and plead while God seems distant, or worse yet, he seems not to answer at all. In our extreme suffering, we call out to God, "Lord, help me." But the only answer we seem to get is silence. And we wonder if God cares what happens to us. Does he turn his back on us as he did to this woman? Our faith is often shaken to its core. Where is God in such times? Where is his mercy? We remind him that he has promised to be merciful. We continue to plead. Sometimes for years, a very long wrestling match indeed. The common link between Jacob and this nameless Canaanite woman is that they have tenacity. Faith is tenacity in Christ, if I can use that. What we must realize is that our Lord tests us. He doesn't tempt us to sin, but he tests, he tempers our faith. How strong is it? I'll confess that mine is often very weak. Often I don't think that I can go on, but God keeps wrestling with me. I want to quit, but God wants to strengthen my tenacity, my faith. And I'm sure this is true of you too. It seems strange to say this. It isn't that God can't win. He could dispatch us in a moment. He could pin us to the mat in seconds. God is almighty. But he doesn't do that. It seems best to me to describe this more in terms of God's mercy, really, than our tenacity or faith. He keeps the match going to elicit, to draw out the faith that he wants to strengthen. Yet in the midst of this wrestling with God, he seems to injure us as he did to Jacob physically, or to this woman emotionally. When he doesn't prevail against Jacob in the usual way, he resorts to the wrestler's trick. He puts him into a position where he can force his hip out of joint. Now, there are pressure points, every wrestler knows, which, if used, can render your opponent unable to continue. Physically, I cannot imagine the agony of Jacob's injury. I cannot imagine the emotional damage Jesus did to this woman's psyche. We might say that she had both of her shoulders on the mat and the referee is about to blow his whistle and slam his hand down and say, pin, signaling that she has lost. But she escapes that pin by saying, yes, I am a dog who deserves nothing, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And at that, our Lord takes off his scowling mask and smiles gently at this woman who grants her prayer. She has received the blessing she so desperately needed, the healing of her daughter. She has exhibited great faith, great tenacity. Like Jacob, she would not let go of Christ until he blessed her. This woman could have uttered Jacob's words, I will not let you go. Our Lord loves to be caught in such a way, said Luther. He is delighted to keep developing your faith, a tenacity that will not let go of his promises. Some of you know the name Martin Fransman. He's written some marvelous hymns in our hymnal, including that magnificent Thy Strong Word. He was one of my seminary professors. He wrote poetry as well. And one of those poems is entitled, To Find Joy in Life's Trials. He begins, You put me on the stretch, O God. You do me the honor of putting me to the test as you once tested our father Abraham. You bid me do the impossible, not only to endure the tempering heat of trial, but to rejoice in it. Impossible. But our Lord Jesus endured the impossible for us. Poverty, rejection, innocent suffering, and death upon a cross, all to win for us the match against our old evil foe. During the Lenten season, we focus upon repentance and faith. We take up our crosses and follow Jesus. Our lives are often put on the stretch as Franz wrote, but we know that we have already been blessed. That blessing was put on us when we were baptized. We were baptized into the death and the resurrection of Christ our Lord. The victory is ours because Christ has already won it for us. He blesses you each time you receive his body and blood in the blessed sacrament. Here he dispenses forgiveness of sins and the assurance of keeping us in the faith as we travel on our way to eternal life. We know that Christ has laid aside his mask in dealing with us. For Jesus tells us about prayer. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So the intro at for Reminiscere is the Latin word for remember. And this is our comfort. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. You and I indeed see God face to face in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been baptized into his name. We are his dearly beloved children. He feeds us in the blessed sacrament with his true body and blood for our strengthening. And in our struggles in life we conquer because we have his blessing and his promise already. Being tenacious in this faith, we become stronger, even in severe trials, because we know that as our Lord is with us in our earthly wrestling matches until we receive the final blessing of everlasting life, where we shall see God face to face in his glory and enjoy his gracious smile, the same smile that he places upon you in the Aaronic benediction. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. That is, he smiles at you, his beloved child. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Please stand as we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds.